All right. Good to see all you guys and all the smiling faces. I want to tell you how special I feel this place is and how special you guys are. Several weeks ago, we began a new series called Your Bible. I was challenging all of us to spend some time reading the Bible. I think the Bible and reading the Bible has kind of slid down our priority list. And you know, I look around, I just don't see that much people carrying a Bible, talking about the Bible, and reading the Bible. So I shared a series, and we began this series talking about spending some time. And I challenge you to put it on your phone. Anybody remember that? Get your phone out. We all got our phone out. We opened our phone and found the YouVersion Bible and installed that. For some of us who have a smartphone, others of us don't have a smartphone, that we got our Bible on our phone and we begin to read. But what makes it so special for me as a pastor is, you know, you people all the time and you don't know how well that goes. Well, when I challenge you to put this on your phone and to find these devotionals, some of you have done that. And you shared with me, because there's a place you can click on there that says share. First you friended me, and then you shared with me what you're doing. So some of you are doing some devotionals. Some of you in day 4 or 5 or day 7 of your devotionals. I'm following you. I haven't clicked share mine. I guess maybe I ought to click share mine and see what I'm doing. But I want to say I'm excited. I think that makes it special. You know, it's kind of rewarding for me to know that, you know what, sometimes what you say does make a difference, because sometimes you look in the world and the direction the world is going and you just really don't feel like it's going in the right direction. And I really feel God's word can make a difference. I really believe that. I believe if we spend time with God's word, if we spend time in God's word, I think you notice many of the songs we sing are what? Scriptures. When I stand to share with you, I share scriptures. I don't have anything to say. One time I was asked to speak at an event, and I'm going, I don't have anything to say, because if I can't talk about the Bible, who wants to listen to me? You know, but you guys want to hear God's word, and I think this is special for me, and I want to tell you how special I think the church is. But we're in the midst of that series on your Bible, and if you don't have the app, get your smartphone out at some point today. It's called YouVersion, YOUVersion. Download it on your phone, and there's all sorts of tools in there, and devotionals, and things you can use and to share in that version there. So I want to encourage you there. So we're in the third week. I began by talking about the Bible and that you can trust it. That there's historical reasons to trust the Bible. There are scientific reasons. You know, Christians are not against science. I'm going to tell you, I love science. I am glad they have a pill for blood pressure, all right? I really am. I'm glad science has a way to create glasses. Otherwise, I couldn't read this. You know, I appreciate science. And science affirms our faith. There are scientific affirmations of our faith. And so I said, you know, that first minute, we can trust God's word. And then last week, I kind of talked about reading God's word. That don't stress about it. Just relax, open the Bible, and read the Bible. You know, and talk to God. Ask God to say something to you. And then just read it. Now, read it slowly. Read it systematically. You know, just read the Bible. And I shared with you, you know, one of the things about the Bible is, and I think one of the mistakes is, people pick the Bible up and they think it's a book. But it's a book of books. And if you pick it up and you start reading in the first chapter, I told you, it's going to be all right. Genesis, you know, God created. And it's exciting, you know, Abraham and family. And you can read about family stories. And you run through the book of Genesis and all the families and here enjoy the stories. You go to the book of Exodus and you see Charlton Heston, you know, leading Israel out of Egypt. Right, you know I'm being a joke there. His name was Moses. You know, and you read Exodus and the exciting, you know, the plagues and dividing the water and feeding the people. You read these stories, and it's exciting to read the Bible. And then you get to Leviticus. And all of a sudden, it's like, what in the world? You know, here's all these laws and all these rituals, religious rituals. And you start reading all these laws and religious rituals, and it kind of drags on. Then it kind of like it repeats itself. You know, and you're kind of going, so it's like, I can't read this anymore. So then you jump to the end. You know, it's like, well, let's go see how it ends then. So you go to the book of Revelation. Man, then it really gets exciting, right? This beast and this dragon, and you got, it's like, man, what a story. You don't read the Bible that way. You read it differently. And I gave you some ideas of how and what to read. You know, start with the Gospel of John. And, yeah, go back and read the book of Deuteronomy. And, you know, I shared some of that. But this morning, I want to take it more than just reading. Because not only do you need to read the Bible, you need to study the Bible. You need to spend some time studying God's Word. You know, I based this series on this verse. If you got your outline, let me encourage you to get it out. It's based on this verse. Your word, that means God's word, is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. That if I want my life, you know, to be successful and meaningful, that it's more than just cruising through life and accumulating stuff and money, that there's more to life. There's an experience in life. And if you want more of that, you're going to have God's word. You're going to have some time with God's word. But you're going to have to study it. Now, Jesus described the study of the Word with this word called eating. One time, Jesus, when he was tempted, had these words. He said it this way. Jesus said, people need more than bread for life. They must feed on every word of God. Just as our body needs physical food, our mind and our soul need spiritual food. Would you agree? You know, that as I need to eat, I need spiritual food. And we need to eat some spiritual food. And that's what I want to talk about today. I can't wait. You know, I want to preach quick because I'm going to go out and have barbecue for lunch. I'm going to Sacramento with my home group, and we're going to go up to Sacramento and enjoy a nice big old platter of barbecue ribs and tri-tip and sausage. And, you know, I'm going to go feed. But before I feed on that, I'm going to feed spiritually this morning. Is that okay? And I want to serve you this morning. And Jesus said, it's like eating. But here's one of the challenges. Now, years ago, I haven't heard this in this church. I've never heard this in this church. And I don't think it's because of me. I think it's because you guys are smarter than that. But it used to be, somebody would say something like this when they got mad at a pastor or they got mad at a church. They would go to the pastor and say, you're not feeding me. You know what I'm saying, brother? You know, you're not feeding me. You know, I'm not being fed at church. You know, you get mad at me. I'm not being fed at church. Well, let me tell you something. Who feeds you now? Who's going to feed you lunch? We need to learn to feed ourselves. We need to learn to feed ourselves. Now, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to feed you this morning. That's my prayer. You know, I'm going to feed you every day. I'm going to feed you every Sunday. That's my prayer. I want to open God's word. It's not, well, Gary thought. I hope you never hear me say, well, I think this is what it says. That's one of my things. I will never preach. I hate to tell you this. You might disagree with me, but I'm not going to preach the book of Revelation, okay? Because I cannot stand here and say, thus saith the Lord. I'm going to tell you, thus saith Revelation infused, okay? I know the beginning. I know where it began. It began with God, and it's going to end with God. Someday the trumpet's going to sound, and he's coming back. I know. But I don't get all that imagery, all right? I'm not going to sit here. If I can't tell you this is what God says, I don't have anything to say. I want to feed you God's word. You know, I hope you get in a small group. I hope you find a little Bible study group that you sit with during the week and that you see God's word. You open the Bible and the scriptures and you see God's word and you delve into God's word and you see what God is saying in his word. But I want to tell you this. If all you eat is twice a week, you're in trouble. I'm going to tell you, I have a habit of eating every day. Anybody else got a habit of eating every day? You know, matter of fact, I got a habit of eating three times a day and sometimes more than that. Anybody on that one? You know, you sit at the computer and you got that, you know, something sitting next to the computer. Don't act so innocent, you know. We eat, and yet spiritually we think, I can survive twice a week on God's food. It ain't going to work. You need God's feeding, and you got to learn to feed yourself. You got to learn to spend some time in God's word, and you know you're going to get strength. You're going to get wisdom. You're going to get protection. You know you're going to grow, and you're going to develop as you spend time in God's word. And so I kind of want to talk about that this morning, again by talking about nutrition. All right, and I kind of identified three sources here. I wanted you to kind of think about this. Look at what it says. A wise person is hungry for knowledge while a fool feeds on trash. You got a choice. Truth or trash? I keep hearing all this stuff about fake news. Anybody hear anything about fake news? Yeah. I'm going to tell you, I don't believe anything anybody says anymore. You know, you get Facebook, even the newscasters, you know. I love newspapers years ago, and I seen on the computer, they make a mistake on a big article that had big old headlines. And then they have a retraction. Back page about that big. You know? You're either going to feed on truth or you're going to feed on trash. You know? I'm going to tell you, everything on the internet is not true. All right? I'll tell you that. Everything Facebooks you is not true. Every tweet you get is not true. All right? We need to understand that. There's truth that never changes, that will never change. And I want us to think about that. What are we feeding ourselves on? And I identified three things. The first kind of thing I put down here is sometimes people feed themselves on poison. Now, I have never eaten poison on purpose. Anybody? Yeah. I'm going to drink some arsenic. Yeah. Now, I have had to take Epicac. Is that Epicac? You know? Anybody know what Epicac is? You know? You know what Epicac is? You eat the wrong stuff, drink something that's going to make that stuff come back up. You take Epicac, you know, and whatever's in your stomach comes back up. All right? You know? But some people take poison. We need to understand there's poison in our world today. There's things that want to poison your mind, that want to poison your heart, that want to poison your life. There's people that want to do that, and we need to understand there's poison in our world. I like what the scripture says here. Trusting a fool to convey a message is like cutting his foot or drinking poison. We got to check things out. You got to trust. You can't just trust everything that's out there. There's poison out there. It will kill you. And I think there's things that will kill you spiritually, all right? You need to know that. It will kill your marriage. It will kill your relationships with others. It will kill you emotionally. There's stuff in this world that will kill you. I'll name one about. How about pornography? Pornography will destroy your marriage. Anybody on board? Anybody know? You don't have to admit it, but it will. You know? How many? 50 shades of any color. All right? 50 shades of any color. Don't read it. Don't see it. Movies come out. I was reading an article the other day talking about a new movie coming out that they say it's going to be like one that came out back in the 70s or 80s that was anti-Christian. It's like, oh, yeah, I'm going to go see that. You know? We need to understand there's poison out there. I'm going to tell Facebook. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I enjoy Facebook. All right? I like saying happy birthday. I told two people happy birthday this morning, all right? You know? I like that. You know, I that's what I post. You know, that's where I'm at. But I'm going to tell you, anybody been infected by poison on Facebook? Anybody had poison on Facebook? Somebody poison you? Somebody say something? Somebody do something? See, we got to watch. There's poison out there that will kill us in our world. And we take this and we need to be aware of it. And so we need to be protecting ourselves from poison. We need to understand that it's real and it's true. You know, and some people say, well, you know what? I can watch that and it doesn't bother me. Well, that's the problem. It bothers you. If it doesn't bother you, you got a problem. You know, your mind has been poisoned. You know, we build up this tolerance to poison. Anybody build up tolerance to poison? You know? We need to see that. We got to watch what we feed our mind. We got to watch what we put into us. Garbage in gives you... All right, you guys know that one. How about this next one? Now, this next one is my battle, all right? Poison is something I'm smart enough, or most of the time smart enough to stay away from. How about this next one? You can fill your mind with junk food. I love junk food. Anybody else? Donuts. Yes. All right. Spice drops. Orange slices. I was out at a home group. One of the boys brought me orange slices. It's like, yes, this is good. Yeah. I love junk food. You know, we enjoy junk food. But here's the problem. If I eat junk food, I'm not going to be hungry to eat the good stuff, am I? Look at what it says here in the scriptures. But look, you are tasting and trusting in deceptive words that are worthless. Foolish things. Now, when it's junk food is not necessarily good or bad. It's just not real good. It's not the best for you. And there's junk food, TV. There's a lot of junk food on TV. It's not good. It's not bad. It's just junk. But if I watch junk food for 4 hours, I'm not very hungry to read God's word, am I? You know? See, junk, we feed on junk food. We feed on that stuff. And then, you know, that junk food, you know, I found something the other day, cran raisins over there. The park was giving cran raisins away. The school was yesterday at the little fair we had yesterday. They had cran raisins, you know, like raisins, but it's cran raisins. And so I looked up the nutritional value on cran raisins. Like, oh, maybe that's healthy. No. Cran raisins or raisins are not healthy for you. They're not bad, but they're not good. It's high in sugar. It's like, oh, that's why they're so good to me. You know, I love sugar. You know. And we need to understand there's this junk food out there. It promises to be good. It promises to be nice. It promises to fill us up. And yet we end up hopeless. Anybody? You end up just fed on nothing. And now you're so stuffed, you don't want to eat anymore. So you don't have time to read God's word. You're too busy to read God's word because you're just stuffed on junk food. And that's empty promises. Worthless words that go nowhere. So I put at the bottom here, we have healthy food, okay? There is healthy food out there, all right? All sorts of health. I listen to podcasts. I listen to various preachers. There's good Christian music out there. There's healthy food out in our world for us to enjoy and for us to experience. Food that will make us wise. Food that will protect us. Food that will strengthen us. You know, as I did this, as I worked on this message, I typed in poor nutrition. And as it talked about poor nutrition, it talked about physical strength going down. It talked about emotional problems going on. It talked about self-image being affected by healthy food, by not eating healthy food. And I'm going, it sounds just like what happens when you don't eat spiritual food. You know, your image goes down. Your emotions go crazy. You know, all this stuff goes on if you don't eat healthy food. We need to eat healthy food. It affects our relationships. It affects our life. It affects how we use our money. It affects how I work at work. It affects all of those elements of our life. You know, if I eat a bunch of sugar, sugar gets me really hyped up for about 30 minutes, and then guess what? You know, now my sugar rush is gone, and just leave me alone. I'm ready for a nap. You know? And we see these things in our life. We need to understand we need to eat healthy. Not just physically, but spiritually. We need to eat, and we need to feed ourselves. You're not going to get enough if you go to Sunday, you come to church on Sunday and go to Bible study during the week. That's it. I'm going to tell you, how long would you live physically if all you ate was 2 meals a week? I would sure lose some weight. You know? But I'm going to be honest. I get up in the morning. You know what? I want to eat. Yeah. You know, Laura's going to, you know, we scramble the eggs and chop up some sausage and make breakfast burritos. You know, waffles. Now, again, I'm bad. You know, waffles with a half a cube of butter on top of them. You know, that junk food stuff. You know, drenched in syrup. Oh, yeah. You know, come on now. You know? We want to eat food. I mean, I want food. Like I said, I'm excited about my lunch. I don't only get good food for lunch. I'm going to have some good company. You know, can you ask for better meals than that with family and friends and good food? That's what church should be, shouldn't it? Family, friends, good food. Doesn't that sound like good for church? You know, home groups, small groups. You know, friends, family gathered around, looking in God's word, seeing some teachings of God. Then how about in the morning when I'm eating that waffle, opening God's word? I sit down with my waffle or my breakfast burrito. I pull out my phone. I click on that YouVersion real quick. I just push a few buttons. There comes YouVersion right on the front screen, and up comes my thing. It reminds me, okay, 21 days straight of opening the YouVersion Bible. All right. Haven't missed a day in 21 days, okay? Click on that bottom for my devotional, just so you know I am up to date. Let's see where I'm at. I'm 21 days of powerful breakthroughs. I'm on day 4. I'll read day 5 tomorrow. So I'm sitting there with this in my lap, eating my breakfast in the morning. Does that sound okay? But then I also need to spend some study. I need to spend some time delving into God's Word, digging a little deeper, trying to find some more things in it. Look at how God describes this. I love the way he kind of twisted this manna. Anybody familiar with the story of the Exodus? Israel going through the wilderness, you know, they had no refrigerators. They didn't have roach coaches following them, feeding them. They didn't have any of those, trailers out there to get them dinner. So God had to feed them, okay? And he fed them manna, and they had to wait. And it says, so he made for you suffer from hunger and then fed you with manna. He said, he made sure you knew who's providing for you, all right? Which neither you nor your ancestors had seen before. He did this to teach you that a person cannot live on bread alone, but every word that come, that the word that every word that the Lord speaks. We need God's word. You need time in God's word. Where can you find better hope than this? That God so loved you, he sent his one and only son to die for you. That he will take all your sins, all those regrets, all that remorse, all that guilt. He'll take all that away and cast it into a sea of forgetfulness. As far as the east is from the west. And call you his son, his daughter. And give you a blessed life, an abundant life called eternal life. And take you to be with him forever in heaven. Where can you find hope like that? See, that's feed ourselves on. That's what we want to experience. That's the bread of life that God wants us to have. And so I want to talk about that this morning. I want you to think about that spiritual food we need to eat. Now, I want to tell you, it's possible to change your diet. Anybody, is it hard to change a diet, what you like to eat? I grew up and I hated vegetables. Anybody else hate vegetables growing up? Asparagus. What's the green? Broccoli, thank you. I hated that. What's that nut thing? Oh, I remember Beaver Cleaver wouldn't eat it. Oh, I forget. Hard as a nut. I can't remember what it was. I don't like those even today. But you know what? I do like broccoli now. Brussels sprouts, yeah. Ugh. I've ate okra. Come on now. I didn't like it when I was a kid. I eat okra now. Eat broccoli now. I didn't like it when I was a kid. I eat asparagus now. I didn't like it when I was a kid. My diet's changed. I'm going to tell you, you can change your spiritual diet, okay? I want to make sure you understand that. That stuff changes. You can learn to like God's word. You can open the Bible and say, I don't like reading the Bible. Well, okay, you don't like reading it, but read it. You will begin to love God's word. When you start seeing it and experiencing it and let God touch your heart, it's like, man, I got to get more of it. I love broccoli now. I love asparagus. We go to places and they have asparagus. I'll take as much asparagus, but I want to make sure I share, but I'll take as much as I can get. I love asparagus now. I hated that stuff. My grandfather, we used to pick the crops. He'd bring a whole box home and put it on our porch. He was Filipino, picking crops, and he'd put it on our porch, and my mom and dad would cook it. Okie's cooking asparagus, Okra and asparagus, It's like grit break. Good food, though. We change our diet. We change what we like. You can change your spiritual diet. I want to make sure you understand. As I share this morning, don't say, well, I can't do that. You can. You got to be patient. You got to work at it. You got to have a plan to do it. It's going to take some time, but realize you can change your attitude. If you say, I can't get into reading the Bible. I just can't. It just doesn't seem to work for me. And can. I want to make sure you get that. So I want to begin with this passage right here that speaks to me. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I want to ask you this as I read that verse. It says study. Spend some time in God's word. Is there things in our life, let me say it this way. There are things in my life that I am ashamed of because I didn't listen to God's word. Did you know that? if I rightly divide God's word, it's going to help me not be ashamed of stupid stuff I've done. Anybody been in stupid stuff? Anybody been involved in something dumb? You look back over your life and say, what was I thinking? You know, I had it all figured out. You know, I got life all figured out. I'm 17 years old and I got life all figured out. I know exactly what I need to do. Mom and dad, they didn't understand. They were dumb. But as time goes on, study God's word and you won't be. Spend some time in God's word. Listen to God's word. Let God's word speak to you. God has much to say. God didn't stop speaking just to Moses, to Peter and James and John. See, I believe God wants to speak to me. Me. I believe God wants to speak to you, to every one of you. That God has a message for you. Matter of fact, this morning, I believe God has a message for you through my message. Like I said, it's exciting that God had a message for you to start doing those devotionals and stuff. That's exciting to me. But I think God has something for you. But here's four real quick points to kind of set this up. How can you do this? How can you get involved? How can you study God's word? The first one I put down here is this. Accept the Bible as your authority. Accept the Bible as your authority. The Bible is the word of God. He inspired men of old to write it. It is the authority. Now, this is the challenge today. You know what? I know what's best for my life. I know what I need to do. I've got it all figured. I know. I'm the boss of my life. How screwed up have I been? You know how I always say this in our lives. You know, I look at life this way. You know, I reach a point in my life where I realize, God, I can't do things my way anymore. It hasn't done very well. You know, I haven't handled it very well. God, I want to do things your way. Come into my life and take control. God's word is the authority. This is challenged today. Over the last few years, I've heard this on TV, and I've heard people say this, and it just blows me away that we got to update the Bible to contemporary culture. That we, you know, the Bible is out of date. You know, it doesn't fit our... I've heard this on the news. I've seen these people talk about this, that it's out of date. I'm going to tell you, if anything's out of date, it's us. You know, I look at our world, and it's jacked up. I don't know about you guys. You know, everybody thinks it's going to get worse. Well, they can't get any worse. Well, it got worse. You know, we're at a point, it can't get any worse. Well, I got news for you. It's going to get worse. You know? But we need to understand the Bible is the authority. I like what it says here. We thank God continually. This is Paul writing to a church. We thank God continually because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it, not as the word of men, but actually as it is the word of God, which work in you who believe. It's God's work and it's working in you. You accept God's word. You accept its authority. You accept what it says. I grew up with a kid's song. Anybody might recognize this song? The B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me. I stand upon the word of God. The B-I-B-L-E. I think that's a good song. I think it's the truth we need to hear today. That the Bible. I'm going to stand on the Bible. I don't care, you know, I'm reading, I'm watching the news, on the, you know, I follow things on the internet, and the Supreme Court's got some big decisions coming out. You need to know that. But I'm going to tell you what, I don't care what the Supreme Court says, God's already settled it for me. You know, they got some tough decisions to make right now. And I wouldn't want to be in their shoes, because no matter which way they go, you're going to be in trouble. You know, but for me, I'm on God's team. Here's the way I look at it. I mean, I make it as real simple as I can for you. You know, if some guy came to this earth, walked this earth for 33 years, walks around this earth, tells you know what? This is what's going to happen. This is how it's going to happen. I'm going to get arrested. They're going to beat me to death, hang me on some cross, throw me in a tomb, and 3 days later, I'm coming back to see you. And he does it, I'm joining that dude. All right? I'm with him. You know, I'm on his team. That's my authority. That's the God I worship. That's the God we're here to celebrate this morning. You know? And we need to see that it's his authority. I'm going to stand on this Bible. I'll go down with this Bible. Because I might go down, but in the end, guess what? I'm going up. I will rise again. I will live for eternity in heaven. I'm going to stand on my Bible. See, if you're going to study God's Word, you need to understand this is the authority. Well, I don't like what it says there. I'll give you a little word. Tough luck. Suck it up. He's right, you're wrong, okay? Yeah. It's God's Word. It's the authority in my life. People will come to me and ask me questions about this or about a situation in life or about this. And my question is, what does the Bible say? Doesn't matter what Gary thinks. What does the Bible say? You know, that makes, to me, I'm going to tell you, that, for me, being a Christian makes life so easy. It's not confusing to me. Life is not that confusing. Love God, love others. Hey, that ain't very confusing to me. You know, even lets me love myself. Love God as you. Love God and then love others as you. Love yourself. Man, I didn't even get to love myself. I'm such a good guy. You know what I'm saying? You know? We need to see that God created us and formed us and we are special. Every one of us is. Every life is. And we need to see that. But it's God's authority for us. The next one I put down here is become a journalistic detective. Become a journalistic detective. Get a notepad. Get a pen. When you read God's Word and you're sitting there, whether it's on your phone, nice about if you use that Bible app, you know you can make comments. Did you know that app, that YouVersion app? You can highlight it and push a button and make comments. But you spend some time in God's Word and you make some notes and you see what God has to say and you work on that verse and that passage and you delve into it. Look at what the Scripture says. Search the Scriptures. Search the Scriptures. Search the Scriptures. For in them you have eternal life. They are they which testify of me. Search the Scriptures. Spend time in God's Word. When I read a passage, here's a phrase. let me say it this way. When I read the Bible, I ask this question. Every verse, every passage, everything I try to understand. What was he telling those he wrote to? What did he want them to understand? What did the original readers need to understand? You know, when Paul wrote the church in Thessalonica, what was he telling Thessalonica? When Paul wrote the church in Corinth, what was he telling the church in Corinth? Then after I understand what he's telling them, I can begin to understand what he's telling me. Does that make sense? What's he trying to tell them? I just kind of, you know, what's he trying to say? What's in there for me? What's God trying to say? You know, I looked at that passage I just read and searched the Scriptures, for in them you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. I circled the word eternal life. What does that mean? Is eternal life, it's the length of life? You know, I get to live forever. When I die, I have eternal life when I die. You know? Or is eternal life about the quality of life I have right now? You know, when he says eternal life, is it something for the future or is it something for today, for right here, for right now? And then it says eternal life. Then I go over to John 10:10, and it says, I've come that you might have life and have it abundantly. Oh, so it's not just something future, it's something for today. See, and I begin to see, and I can make that note. You know what? I'm supposed to have a wonderful life every day. Does it mean it's always going to go easy? How many of us watch Wonderful Life movie and cry every Christmas? Come on, don't be innocent. You know? Because life's like that, isn't it? It's not fair, and it hurts, and there's wounds. But God had a plan directing everything. You hear the bell, and angels got wings. Come on. You know that ain't true, but that sure makes a nice movie. But we need to let God speak to us. We need to kind of delve in. We need to search the Word. And I put this down here. I got some questions to ask. Let's fill this in real quick. I'm going to go through this real quick, okay? Is there a sin to confess? And when I read that verse, is there a sin to confess? Is there something I need to get out? Is God saying, Gary, you better face up to this? How about this next? Is there a promise to claim? There's more than 800 promises in the Bible. Did you know that? 800. In excess of 800 promises. Is there one to claim? How about an attitude to change? This one's mine. My greatest battle in life is my attitude, okay? Satan works on my attitude all the time. Yeah. And so God, you know, that's a good one for me. How about a command to obey? That's what most of us don't want to see. You know, we don't want to hear that command to obey. How about a rule to follow? or a prayer to pray? Is there a prayer to pray? And how about an error to avoid? Is there something I need to avoid? Something to stay away from? That fire's hot. Don't touch it. Yeah, okay. Is there something to avoid? How about a truth? Or something to thank God for? All right, something to thank God for. Now, some of you recognize this. Several years ago, we did a study in the Word of God. It's on the back table with a DVD sitting on top of it. You can go, if you haven't done it and you want to do it, there's a couple of books back there and a DVD. It's called Space Pets. Did you get spells? Space Pets. See, I'm good, but it's not me. It's a study we did several years ago. But it's how can I let the Bible speak to me? How does God's Word and what does it say for me? And so ask those questions. Spend some time with those things and see what God has for you. How about the next point? Pray and ask God for insight. Again, this isn't your prayer time, but it's a time to say, God, what do you want me to see? God, what do you want me this morning or this evening or today? What do you want to bring out of this word for me, God? Ask God for some insight. You know, he's the writer. He's the one ultimately who put it together, and he's preserved it through these centuries. And so ask him to give you insight. It says, listen to Scripture, Psalms 119, 18. Open my eyes that I may see wonderful things in your law. God, what do you want me to draw out of this passage? What do you want to say to me this morning through this? As I'm going to bed tonight, God, what is it? What do you want me to dwell on my thoughts tonight as I go to sleep, God? And ask God to speak to you through that. Last point, real quick. Craft an action plan that applies what you've learned. Craft an action plan that applies what you learned. I'm going to talk about the action plan in a minute, but I want you to circle that word applies. One of my frustrations as a pastor, people who can quote God's word, but it hasn't touched their heart or their life. Anybody know what I'm talking about? They can tell you scripture, verse, but they live like hell. Anybody? It does no good to know the word if you don't apply it, okay? If you don't figure out how it works and what it does and how you should spend time in it, and you need to do that. And you need to spend some time with God's word, and you need to apply God's word. And that's the challenge. A lot of people can quote scripture. You can see the banner at football games on the back of the field goals. What does it say? John, you guys see it, right? But does it mean anything to have those people sitting in that section? Do they even know what they're sitting behind? There's people that have it in their heart that have no idea what they're doing. And so we need to understand that. But we need to spend some time with God's word and get us an action plan. What am I going to do with this? This is where you get that pen and paper. This is where you begin to make some notes of, what am I going to do with this? Look at what it says. Once you know these things, you'll be blessed if you do them. Once you know these things, you'll be blessed. Is that what it says? All you got to do is know it. When you know it and you do it, you'll be blessed. See, we need to see that in God's word. And so I gave you just four quick things here. Make it personal. Make it personal. It's me. What is God saying to me? Make it practical. I can do this. It's practical. Make it possible. I'm going quick, right? I'll go back over these. Don't worry. Make it possible and make it provable. Now, most of you know my motto verse from my life. Philippians 4:30. I can do all things through Christ Jesus who gives me strength. That's a verse from my life. This is what this comes to for me. Who's I? Personal. I means Gary. Gary can do all things. Gary, a kid who hates school. Gary, who kid squeaks through high school. In order to graduate, sits in his counselor's office for 2 weeks to let them graduate. School too much and went fishing. All right? Gary. You know, it's personal. I can do all things. God called me to be a preacher. I got to go to college now. I didn't want to go to college. I wanted to be a cop and shoot people. The bad people, all right? I got to say that today. I want to be on the SWAT team and save somebody's life. You know? That's what I wanted to do. I was going to join the Army as an MP and then get out of the Army and be a cop. But now God says, you're going to college. Oh, yeah. Flunk out of high school. A flunky. It's possible. I can do all things. No scholarships. No grants. I can't get any money to go to school. But I'm going to go to college. I'm going to get married in June and leave in September. Go 400 miles to Southern California. Walk into an apartment that's got 2 inches of water in the bedroom. Is it possible? You know? You look at this. It's practical. It's possible. I'm going to become, now this is what you got to think of. I'm going to become a great singer. Why are you guys laughing? The Bible says I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. Why couldn't I become a great singer? That's not practical. And it's not possible. I can become a better singer. I can become better at it, but I will never be a great singer. You know, practical impossible. I'm never going to be a Rick Warren, an Andy Stanley, Ed Young Jr., Greg Grish. I can tell all these great preachers I like to listen to. I'm never going to be them. But you know what? Back to the personal, Gary can be the best Gary can be. You know? So I take that Bible verse, and it's full. You know, I always wanted to go back. I can remember when I gave a speech in high school. I had just become a Christian. I gave a speech in high school, and I said this, that Paul might have went to England. Now, I did my research. I wrote my notes. I went up, and I gave the speech at class. When I got done, the teacher said, no, Paul didn't go to England. Well, I'm going, well, the notes I had said he did. He said, no. Well, after I went to college, guess what I found out? He might have went to England. I wanted to go to teacher. There, see, there it is. You know? Come on, you guys know how it is. Yeah. But see, take that verse. That one verse has taken a kid and made me who I am today. Now I'm going to tell you, he did it. I prayed this morning. I prayed for a lot of things, but one thing I thank God for every week and nearly every day, my wife. Because I couldn't be who I am and done what I've done without my wife. This morning as I walked around, I prayed for her as I prayed for many of you and your families. And I thank God for my wife. You know, I can do all things with Laura on my side. We're talking about food, you know, about eating healthy. One of the big discussions in our house is iceberg lettuce or romaine lettuce. Anybody ever had that argument? I like iceberg lettuce. But romaine lettuce is more, just so you know, I did type it in to double check my wife, okay? You know? Iceberg lettuce is not as healthy for you as romaine lettuce, so guess what I get on my tacos? Romaine lettuce. Yeah? Because you got to eat right. Am I right? You guys get what I'm saying? We've got to eat healthy. You got to feed yourself physically healthy, spiritually healthy. This is where I'm at. Years ago, when we were at the school cafeteria, I preached a message sitting in a high chair saying, feed me, feed me. Some of you guys remember that one? You know? I sat in a high chair and said, feed me. Because it's not going to happen. You got to learn to feed yourself. And so I wanted to give you some ideas here this morning. I wanted you to see some things this morning. You know, you can begin to like new things. You can change. I want to ask you, are you feeding on poison? You know, just a little poison? Yeah. Let's say I baked a bunch of brownies. I had this whole platter of brownies here. And one of them has poison in it. Come up and get a brownie. Who's going to come up and get a brownie? Not one of you would come up and get a brownie. But you'll walk out of here and eat poison this afternoon. Sorry, but it's true. Yeah, we're going to go out and I'm going to have some barbecue today. But after I eat barbecue, last time we went out there with a home group, guess what? We wanted to go have hot fudge sundaes at Ghirardelli's up there in Stockton. But they closed too early for us to get back in time. So we couldn't go to Ghirardelli's and have a hot fudge sundae. So guess what we did? We stopped at Krispy Kreme and got donuts. Because, you know, I'm going to have some good food, some beans and some good food, but I'm also going to have some junk food. But don't fill up on junk food, okay? It's not good or bad, you know? But save room for some good food. Save room for the healthy stuff. Spend some time in God's Word. Let God's Word nurture you and encourage you and strengthen you. Let it give you wisdom. Let it protect you. But you've got to feed on it. And if all you're going to do is eat this morning, you're in trouble. And you're going to get in a small group and you're going to eat again, and that's good. But I'm going to challenge you to eat every day. Eat every day. Maybe more than once a day. Just so you know, I pull out my Bible app more than once a day. Do you guys know that? I'll read God's Word more than once a day. So I just want to challenge you this morning to diet on the right stuff, to diet on the good stuff, to eat the truth and not the trash. All right? I want to encourage you there. Don't dabble with the poison or indulge in the junk food. Spend time in the true Word of God. Is that okay? Listen to what Jesus said as we close. Jesus said, people need more than bread in their life. They must feed on every word of God. What are you feeding on? Let's pray. Lord, I just thank you for your words, your scriptures, that you inspired men of old to write, that through the centuries you protected it and brought it to us today. And now you inspire us to understand and to gain knowledge and strength and wisdom. You know, as our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, I want to pray for you this morning. If you're wanting to change your diet on what you're eating spiritually, and you want me to pray for you, would you just shoot your arm up and shoot your hand up? Let me pray. I see that hand. Thank you. I see that hand. Thank you. Anyone else? I see that hand. Anyone else? I see that. Anyone else? Thank you. I see that. Anyone else? God, I thank you for who want to diet on the right stuff, who wants the Word of God to stir their hearts, to protect their lives, to bestow upon them wisdom and knowledge. Lord, help them feed upon your Word every day. Help them find a time and a place. Help them find an opportunity to let your words nurture them and fill them. Guard their hearts and protect them, Lord, for Satan seems to attack the most when we want to draw to you. So put a wall around their lives. Guard their minds. Fill their hearts with your presence that they can discover new and amazing things in the Word of God. For it's in his name we pray, in the name of Jesus. Amen.